Good morning. Okay, I have to say this. Congratulations to Tammy. Publicly. Y'all can turn your license in now. Punch Lamar, not me. Sorry. Yes. That's true. All right, let's pray. Father, you're good. Lord, and we thank you for this morning you've given us. Lord, we thank you for another day. You've shown grace to us by allowing us to breathe your air and to see the goodness and beauty of Jesus Christ. May he receive the honor and glory due this day. In his name we pray. Amen. Sorry, Tammy. Your husband put me up to it. So, all right, let's get into the teaching time. It's Article 7. Faith, God's gift. I'm going to read it, then I'll go into what I have written down. Faith, God's gift. But all who genuinely believe and are delivered and saved by Christ's death from their sins and from destruction receive this favor solely. Receive this favor solely from God's grace, which God owes to no one, given to them in Christ from eternity. Okay, let me recap a little bit. You know, last week, James taught about the human responsibility to believe the gospel. The problem with our response is that we cannot nor will not respond to the gospel call unless God quickens or makes us alive. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins and need to be made alive. Ephesians 2:4, Colossians 2:13, or be born again. John 3:3. This is the work of the Holy Spirit and regeneration. As totally depraved humans, we can't make ourselves alive or give our hearts a new desire to go after the things of God or seek his kingdom. Unbelief is something we are all guilty of, and the suppression of the truth about God and his character is evident about each and every one from Adam to the baby that was born somewhere this very moment as I was speaking. Jerry started last week this teaching with the justice, or Jerry started this teaching with the justice that God requires for the one who has sinned against him, Jesus. The sinner must be punished with both temporal and eternal punishment of soul as well as body. This is inescapable unless God makes a way for us to appease his wrath. Here's the news. We can't. Why? Because we are temporal beings in the sense that we have a beginning who have violated his law. One sin is enough to sever us from his perfection. So we have a dilemma. We cannot atone for our sins. You guys have heard this in one of Shia's rap where they sample C.J. Mahaney. This is our problem is we can't atone for our sins. We need someone who is perfect, infinite, and at the same time a man such as us who can rescue us from ourselves. He must be this appeasement in order for us to have our sins atoned. This leads to the next point of Christ's propitiation that was made on behalf of the one who by grace places his trust in Christ. The good news, the gospel of this perfect, infinite sacrifice is to be proclaimed to all along with the command to repent and believe. I know we've all heard the military term, kill them all and let God sort them out. Well, I say proclaim the gospel to all and let God sort them out. We don't know those whom God has saved or will save. The job or privilege of the believer is to herald the good news to all. As the church, we are to proclaim the gospel to the unbeliever and to remind the believer of his or her condition prior to their relationship with Christ by encouraging one another with this grace, not only in salvation, but in sanctification as well. Philippians 2:13, Hebrews 3:12. For the one who has been saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8 again, this seems to be the mantra through all this teaching on election. Ephesians 2:8, I think everybody knows that passage. If not, you should memorize it. It's been the crux of of this teaching. God has shown favor. He has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ, Galatians 2:16. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent, John 6:29. Remember, this was in response to what was asked of Jesus by the crowds that followed him in the previous verse. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Let's look at that now. Let's turn to John 6:29. We'll begin there. It's very briefly. John 6:29. Actually, I'm going to begin in verse 28 where I just quoted John 6:28, and I'm going to go through to 40. I'll read to 40. John 6:28. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever abides in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all who sent me, over all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day." Notice Jesus' response in verse 37. The one who comes to him are the ones whom the Father has given him. Dare I say it? Here he goes. Here we go. Dare I say it? Elected to salvation. This is elected. This is, God has given you this gift. We know that it's nothing we conjure up. Believer, you have been given faith to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You did not earn it. You did not seek it, nor conjure it up in your mind. The Lord has opened your eyes, made you alive. These are all from Scripture. Caused you to be born again. He had to. He had to. Otherwise, you would have died in your suppression of the truth of who Jesus is and been self-condemned in your sin. The work is solely based. It's solely based on the good pleasure of God. He owes no man salvation, only wrath. You were created for his glory from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, we know that. Tom's been studying up on that, so he's ready to talk about that. Right, Tom? Yeah, right. Sure he is. God, through Paul, uses words like holy, without blame, predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. How could God do this? How could God do this? By placing the blame or wrath that we deserved on his son. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, all of it, including the faith to believe. Ephesians 2 again. Some of you say, but Abraham believed God and it was credited as righteousness. So this must mean that Abraham was wiser than everyone else and he chose to follow God. No. Faith is not our righteousness. Christ's imputed righteousness to us is our righteousness. This is what we believe here. This is what we will teach here. This is what we hope in. Faith connects us to Christ's righteousness. The irony of it is he gives us the faith, the belief to believe that his righteousness accounts for us. As Scripture has made abundantly clear time and time again, our premise is God's word. We need to hold to God's word fast. We need to work through these things, iron out things that we concocted in our mind, and work them out through Scripture. Faith is a gift of God, as we've been talking. It's about Article 7. I'm going to ask you this question I was asked a long time ago by my daughter. Why did you place your hope in Christ? Were you smarter and wiser than your family member, your neighbor, your coworker? No. And I'm here to say that He has given you a new heart to receive the things of Him and from Him. He has given you the eyes of faith. He has caused you to be born again. That's Scripture, 1 Peter 1:3. He caused you to be born again. Now you can see who He is. Now you see your need for who He is. Now you see the goodness of Jesus Christ in all of this. Clear? Okay. All right, we're all good? All right, I'm going to end with prayer then. Father, yes. Well, how do you do that?
Well, by cleaving to Christ.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, the thing is, it seems to me there ought to be great exhortation to those who are born again. First of all,
they have to be born again.
So they need to be born again.
So that's the premise which I'm starting.
Right. That they need to cleave to Christ to be diligent.
Why do they want to be diligent?
Because we're commanded to be.
Why would you want to respond like that? Why would you even want to say, I want to cleave to Christ? Why would you want to cleave to Christ?
Because I'm speaking for my, as any person.
I want to stick to the Scriptures as well. Okay, I would say that there is none good, there is no one, not one righteous. No one seeks after God. God has caused you to be born again. I mean, there are a lot smarter people in this room than us. When you look at IQs, that choose not to follow Christ. Because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. They're suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, what Romans 1 talks about. But your desire to cleave to Christ... Your desire to cleave to Christ is because if in fact He has caused you to be born again, your desire will just say, I want to cleave to Christ because He has caused me to be born again. I have seen the beauty of who He is. Now, therefore, I love Him for what He has done for me. It's not a work that you do. It's out of love. You know, I love my children. I don't work to give my children things. I do, well, in a sense, I work a job, but I love my children, so I give them all I have. My child doesn't have to say, Dad, do I need to work for my food? No, I give it to him because God has given me this sense of provision for them because they love me and I love them.
Well, the Word of God tells us that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
So are all saved?
And that all men would be saved.
Okay, so... Yes, they do. All men. All men choose darkness. All men have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. Well, let me finish my thought.
We would say that at this point,
we're going to agree to disagree.
Questions, I think you should ask the elders, but you have opinions and beliefs that we would call heretical. And so I believe that at this point that you probably shouldn't be espousing them. If you have questions about what we believe, we would invite you to ask us. Because of some of the things that you've said to Anthony and other elders, we would have a very grave concern for you and your salvation, and we would want to, in protection of the flock, have you not ask or espouse those views anymore. We would be happy for you to speak to us as an elder team or individually, but as far as this, right now, we would ask that you not speak anymore.
But
you can't deny that what I said is
But see, what's...